And now, today, we come to our fourth study in that little letter called the Epistle of Paul to Philemon. I want again to read this beautiful little epistle. Maybe some are listening today who have missed the previous studies. The Epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, to Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphiae, Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. If he hath wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen, and may God bless to us the reading of the chapter. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge thee again. Thou art the God of all comfort. Thou art the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor any shadow ever cast by turning. O God, take our thanks for every blessing that we enjoy. Look down in mercy upon each one now. Remember thy children everywhere, no matter what circumstances they're found in now. Remember very specially those who are listening to this broadcast. May thy blessing be their portion for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now this is our fourth study in this epistle, and today we're going to look at verses 11 through 18. Now, Paul's argument on behalf of Onesimus is presented in such reasonable and forceful terms that Philemon is left with no alternative but to agree with Paul's proposal and yield to the appeal. Now, we have looked a little in past studies at the way in which Paul approached the subject. And now, after having made his approach, approaching this man Philemon on the basis of the fact that Philemon was well known for his love and for his faith to all the saints. Now then, Paul, on the basis of that, has made his approach. And then, in approaching the subject, he presents himself not as the apostle, but he presented himself as the old man, Paul the aged, the veteran, and now also a prisoner in bonds in Rome. Now, on the basis of that, he's going to present his appeal. But now his argument is going to be presented. So that, watch the argument that is presented. First of all, he speaks of the sinner who has been reclaimed. Then he presents the slave who is being returned. Then Paul explains the reason for sending him back. And then he explains how his resolve was determined. See, line upon line, little upon little, he opens out his argument. I don't think there ever was a lawyer in a law court ever presented a case for anyone that was accused in such a way as Paul presents this case for the converted Onesimus. He doesn't deny his guilt. It's brought out in the open. But watch now. First of all, the sinner has been reclaimed. In verse 11, speaking of Onesimus, whom he has mentioned in verse 10, verse 11 he said, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. The sinner has been reclaimed. Here we have the power of the gospel, for the power of the gospel had reached the unprofitable sinner. Can you think of it? A man who had ran away from his post, a man who had defrauded his master, a man who was marked by failure, had ran away to hide in a strange city. You know, it's amazing how many people have ran away from home and have gone to the city in order to try and hide. On one occasion, I was in a very large city and was asked to go and speak at a certain rescue mission, a well-known rescue mission. There was quite a large crowd of men in that place, and after presenting my message to them, I looked at them and I said, I wonder how many of you men in this gathering tonight once lived in such and such a place, and you ran away from home, and you've never gone back. Would you be bold enough just to raise your hand a little and let me see? It was a shock to me to find that in that audience there were six men who had come from another country, had come from another city, and were all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, and there they were, hiding, as it were, in a strange city. But they simply had become bums of the street, had gone down, as it were, in life. And there they were in a rescue mission in order to get a free meal. And there they were listening to the gospel. Men who run away from home. But these sinners can be reclaimed, you know. These sinners are not lost yet. As long as they're this side of eternity, there's a hope for them. There's never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can bring him home. And here was the sinner who had been reclaimed. Paul, by the power of the gospel, had reached him. I've often wondered if this man got into trouble in Rome and was put in prison beside Paul and got to hear him, or, having known about Paul, if he went along to the prison to speak to him to see what could be done. Whether it was one way or another, Paul says he won him for the Lord while he himself was in bonds. Here the power of the gospel, able to reach down and take the man whose life had been unprofitable. This man was a contradiction to his own name. But now, he who had been unprofitable had been converted, and now he was profitable. You see, I said he contradicted his own name, for his own name meant profitable. But he didn't live up to the name that he had. A lot of people don't live up to their name. He was an unprofitable servant, an unprofitable slave, defrauded his master, and ran away. But now the true character can be manifested, and he can be profitable. I love that verse. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now. Have you ever thought, my friend, of the hinge in one's life, of all that can take place, turned around by that one expression, but now. He'll tell us what we once were by nature, but now, by the grace of God, we're something else. If all the Christians today, those who have been truly brought to know the Lord, were to look back on their lives, they would tell you what they were. Then they would say, but now, and so the change has taken place. My friends, you may be listening to me tonight, and some of you can look back, and with joy, you can say, yes, I remember when the Lord, as it were, reached down and touched my life, and I'm not today what I was. I've been changed, but now I'm a child of God. As some of us wouldn't like, perhaps, for the world to know what we were before we were converted. But here is one, a sinner who had been reclaimed. I wonder, is this message reaching someone tonight who is still unprofitable? Someone who has not yet turned to God? Someone who has not yet come to know the Savior? Oh, my friend, listen. The Lord can reach you, and the Lord can take you, even if you've been unprofitable, and can make you profitable. Paul says, but now is profitable to you and to me. So the sinner has been reclaimed. But now he goes on to show that the slave is being returned. Verse 12, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. The slave is being returned. Now, Onesimus, the returning slave, the man who was unprofitable, but has now been converted, Onesimus returns willingly to accept his obligations to Philemon. Now, perhaps you might say, how do you know he returned willingly? Well, in the time when Paul gave him the letter, and he left Rome, and he had gone back to the city of Colossae, he didn't need to go. If he didn't want to go, he could have run away some other place. But he didn't. He takes this letter from Paul, this letter of commendation, this letter of introduction, call it what you like. It was a personal letter telling of his testimony. Paul was bearing witness to it. And Onesimus returns willingly to accept his obligations to Philemon. Now, my friend, I often wonder if men and women are taught this truth today. He returns to resume his neglected duties. You would say today he came back. He was going to let the chips fall where they like. He was going to take what was coming to him. But he was trusting in this, that the God who had saved him was the God who would guide. And he could trust his God to work everything out. And so he will. The God who can save us from hell and make us fit for heaven is the God who can undertake for us in the daily duties of life. So Paul sends Onesimus back because he knows it is the right thing to do. No one yet ever lost by doing the right thing. And so therefore, the slave is being returned. Now for a moment, put yourself in the position of Philemon, who has received the letter. There's his slave standing there in his presence while he's reading the letter. His mind no doubt has gone back to what this man did for him and how this man defrauded him in the past years. Now he's listening and reading. He's reading what Paul has said. Paul says he was once unprofitable. Yes, he would say, and that's true. But now it's profitable to you and to me. He might question that and say, I don't know how he's going to be profitable to me. But Paul says, I'm sending him back. He's here now. And he's standing in front of his old master. Then he reads these words. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Here is the point where the real test was going to come to this man, Philemon. Paul has already said he's a man who's marked by faith. He's a man who's marked by love to all the saints. So therefore, how will he act towards the man that defrauded him? How will he act towards the man that wronged him? Here's a man standing before him now. If Philemon was to act according to his rights, if he was to act according to the law which was in his favor, he could have that man flogged. He could even have him put to death. He could have him jailed. He could have him put on trial. That's not what Paul asks. Paul asks for Philemon to act according to the Christian law of love, that love which has been shed abroad in his heart. He says, I want you to receive him. When you come to verse 15, he says, I want you to receive him forever. When he comes to verse 17, he says, I want you to receive him as you would me. He doesn't want him to be received simply as a slave. He wants him to be received as a brother. He wants him to be received as he would receive Paul himself. And Philemon is faced now with the great charge. How will he respond? How will he act to the appeal or the argument presented by Paul? Now, Paul explains the reason for sending him back. First of all, Paul was faced with a conflict of desires and interests. First of all, this man had got saved under his preaching, and he required somebody to be with him and help him while he was a prisoner. And since this man was accustomed to being a servant or a slave, he's the very man who would know what to do for Paul and how he could serve Paul while Paul was a prisoner. However, while he's thinking of that, you've got to remember this, there's the conflict of interests and the conflict of desires. While he might have desired to have him, and while he might have been in order keeping him there, nevertheless, there's the other interest, and that is this man belongs to Philemon. Therefore, Paul is torn between two. He certainly could do with Onesimus to minister to his physical needs. Onesimus was qualified, and even perhaps was willing to serve Paul. He could do this service in place of his former master, Philemon. I'm sure if Philemon was there, who had been brought to know the Lord through Paul's ministry, there's lots of things Philemon would have done to help Paul. Now here's the very thing now. One of his servants is there. He could serve on behalf of his master, and they could send a letter and say, your servant is here, but he's serving in your place, and on your behalf, in your name, and he's serving Paul. He could have done that, but now he didn't. He explains the reason for sending him back. Whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But, here's why I'm sending him back. Without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. Because if this is to be a good deed to be done to me, then I don't want it to be by compulsion. I want it to be done in a voluntary way. I want you to determine that this is the thing to be done. So therefore, Paul explains how his resolve was determined. Paul's own wish and inclination was to retain Onesimus as his servant. But his will and determination is to respect Philemon's right to Onesimus. You see, Paul is thinking of the other man's right, not his own right. He's willing to waive his own right on behalf of someone else. So the motivating principle then is this. Whatever you decide must not be imposed on you as a necessity, but should be the voluntary decision. Paul was voluntary in what he did. He wants Onesimus to go back so that Philemon will be under no obligation, but will therefore decide of his own free will. He'll be a voluntary choice if he sends this man back to minister to Paul. Then verses 17 and 18, the appeal then is presented. The argument has been presented. Now there is the appeal. Here's the profound reason. He was parted for a season, but now reunited permanently. Now, God's ways may be past finding out, but we must recognize that God can overrule in order to accomplish his own design. Look what he says. Verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. He's gone for a little while, but then you can receive him forever. Because now he's back on a different footing. He's now back with a new desire. He's been converted. He's a different kind of a man now. Oh, what profound reason. God permitted him to go away. It was all in the counsels of God that your slave ran away, and God brought him here, and he's heard the gospel. He's been converted. Now you can receive him back. He's yours forever. Ah, but he's brought back into this new relationship. It's a pleasant relationship. He who was once the slave is now a brother beloved. Conversion to God will enable us to perform our tasks from a new motive and in a more acceptable manner. When he left you, Philemon, he left you as a slave, as an unprofitable one. Now he's back. Receive him. Receive him forever. Take him into your home. Don't look upon him now as a slave. Look upon him as a brother beloved, one who will serve you on the level. But he's a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's with you now. He'll be with you day by day. He'll serve you. He's a brother in the flesh and a brother in the Lord. He'll be able to serve you. And now here is the partner's request. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Now, Paul has presented himself as a prisoner. Paul has presented himself, first of all, as the prisoner in verse 1, and then he speaks of himself as a prisoner again in verse 9. So he is the prisoner. And then he has given us a picture of himself as a man engaged in prayer. But now when you come here, he presents himself as a partner. If then you count me as a partner. Now, partners are people who can sit down and discuss things together. They have a common interest. Partners should have common ideas and common interests, and one partner's request should be honored by the other partner. And so Paul brings him in now here and presents himself as a partner. If then you count me, and he's writing to Philemon, Philemon, if you look upon me as being a partner with you, if we are partners in this same business for the Lord, then I make my request. And my request as a partner is this, that you receive him as you would receive me. Now, if Paul had gone to the home of Philemon, I'm sure the door would have been thrown wide open, and a place would have been made for Paul, and he would have been given a great welcome. He says, that's the way I want you to receive this man who has trusted the Lord. And then he brings up a personal responsibility. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Acknowledging the wrongdoing of Onesimus and the fact of his obligation to Philemon, Paul accepts the personal responsibility. He says, I'm a partner, all right, I will accept this personal responsibility. I'll be responsible to stand surety in the place of Onesimus, and I will repay. So here Paul accepts personal responsibility for Onesimus. Now, do you think that this man, Philemon, could possibly refuse to accept Onesimus back into his home when Paul makes such an appeal? So his argument is presented, and his appeal is presented, and the runaway slave is going to be reinstated into the old home. Thank you for being tuned in today. You've been listening to the Bible Fellowship program.